So my name is Nicholas Harry Callis. You can call me at 412-928-9370. The Steelers didn't play this weekend, but there's still plenty to talk about, and you can talk about it at 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on X. You can follow me there at Callis underscore 33. That's C-A-L-L-A-S underscore 33. So let's talk a little bit about yesterday, because there are three teams in the AFC North that still managed wins yesterday. It was the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Cleveland Browns. And the Browns, the most surprising of those three teams. So before that, before yesterday, the San Francisco 49ers were undefeated, and the Cleveland Browns were relying a lot on Deshaun Watson to play well and live up to his massive contract that they signed him to. And so, I mean, there's just a lot of storylines to come out of that game. I mean, the 49ers were a field goal away from winning, and they attempted a field goal to end the game, and it went inches wide right. So, you know, there's that, but also, you know, Brock Purdy wasn't making great decisions, and under pressure, he seems to struggle a lot. Also, another undefeated team yesterday, by the way, the Philadelphia Eagles lost to the New York Jets. So, I mean, there's just a lot of games going on yesterday that some of which had some shock. The Bengals, many expected to beat the Seahawks, so that's not too much of a surprise. And the Ravens beating the Titans was not much of a surprise. But the 49ers losing their undefeated streak and Brock Purdy losing his regular season win streak as a quarterback, that those are now over thanks to the Cleveland Browns. But the Browns also didn't have Deshaun Watson in the game. They had their backup, P.J. Walker, in the game. And that may be maybe a shock to some of you, but like, the Browns are in trouble with the Deshaun Watson contract. Like, it's great that they won. It's great that they ended the undefeated streak of Brock Purdy, and they were the ones that made sure that the 49ers are not undefeated this season in particular. But think about how well they ended up playing, how well they ended up doing without Deshaun Watson, without Nick Chubb, another guy who's one of their main running back, who's out because of injury. I mean, a couple running backs in the game, Kareem Hunt for them as one of them, and then P.J. Walker in the game as a backup. I mean, they're in big trouble in one regard, but they've also kept pace with the Steelers, which is not great for the Steelers. The Steelers got no help yesterday from any other teams in AFC North matchups. None of the AFC North teams played each other, so they all had the opportunity to win, and they did. So, the Browns, though, got, I mean, it just baffles me, and I'm struggling for words thinking about all the money they gave to Deshaun Watson to try to, you know, have him prove his worth, and, you know, they ruled him out, didn't play in this game, and P.J. Walker led a Browns offense to a win. So, I mean, that's just kind of the scary part, that the Browns may do better and perform better without Deshaun Watson at quarterback. Jacoby Brissett last year did pretty well for them, and they remained serviceable, and then Deshaun Watson came to play in the second half of the year. I mean, they've got a lot of question marks. Now, again, it doesn't help that they're still keeping pace with the Steelers after winning during the Steelers' bye week. They got some questions themselves. And I think it's just an interesting, it's crazy, just add some drama to the idea that the Browns could still win without Deshaun Watson, a quarterback, and the Browns struggled a reasonable amount with him still at quarterback. And they've invested the most money in one player than any team has in the history of the NFL. So that's interesting. Now, again, the other two games that were played, I mean, they were to be expected. I mean, it was a close game between the Bengals and the Seahawks. You'd want to see the Seahawks pull that one out, but they didn't overall. And nobody's surprised by that. Benny said that the Bengals would use this game against the Seahawks as a bounce-back game, and they certainly did. And the Ravens beating the Titans wasn't too much of a surprise either. The Titans mightily struggling this season, but the Browns beating the 49ers, the 49ers now 5-1, will not be undefeated this season because of the Cleveland Browns. That one, the biggest surprise. All right, I got a couple callers on the line. We can talk about Steelers, Penguins, Pirates. There's some Pirates topics I want to bring up, including a lot of comparisons of this Pirates team to the Arizona Diamondbacks that are going to play their first game of the 2023 National League Championship Series tonight. But talk about anything you want to at 412-928-9370. And let's start with this person. Good morning. What's your name?
Good morning. My name's Greg.
All right, Greg, what do you want to talk about?
I think that the North Division of the AFC is terrible.
No.
The Steelers might end up winning it, but, you know, you can't just put your defense on the field and hope to win all your games. Your offense got to do something, too.
You're right about that.
The Steelers' offense can't do nothing. Cleveland's quarterback, the dude that replaced Deshaun Watson, he was terrible. They had a bunch of penalties called that helped them win the game. Their defense, Cleveland's defense mainly won the game for them. Because if it was left up to the little guy, quarterback, looked like he too weak to throw the ball. He missed all passes. Cleveland's in trouble, man.
Cleveland is in trouble, Greg. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, that's true. There were a lot of penalties at the end of the game. Some were warranted, some may not have been. And I was watching kind of from afar. There's a TV right outside the window of my booth that had the game on, and I was watching some of those penalties get called while Kale Berger was hosting yesterday. So from a far away, watching on TV view, I mean, one of them at least looked questionable, but a couple others were well-warranted. But the 49ers, you know, if they don't leave the Browns in the game, then the Browns don't have an opportunity to have the lead and win, and the 49ers could have taken the game with a field goal and just didn't make it. But for the game to be that close all throughout, that's more of a 49ers error to me. But, all the AFC North offenses are not great so far. Now, the Bengals, I mean, they scored 17 to win, but that's still not – that's not dominating. It was a good bounce-back game for them for where they've been, but the fact that they were where they were to start the season – I mean, most of the AFC North offenses are just they're not great. So I agree with Greg on that point. Maybe the Ravens, I think, have the most consistent offense so far, and Lamar Jackson seems to be happy with all the money he's making now, so he's playing well enough for them to now technically be at the top of the division. The Ravens 4-2, the Steelers 3-2, after the Steelers bye week, so that's just something to look at. But, yeah, we thought this AFC North would be competitive, and it is, but it's not competitive in the exciting way that we all want competitiveness to be. It's the gifting competitiveness. Like, no, you take this game. No, you take it. No, you take the division. We don't want it. You know, just the back and forth of give me is not so much the taking, because they're not, you know, none of the teams are really playing overly well so far this season. All right, we got Roland. Castle Shannon wants to call and talk on the fan. Go ahead, Roland.
Good morning, Nick. Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, Nick, my takeaway is the Steelers are going to go 12-5 or going to the Super Bowl after watching the games yesterday, and here's why. Kyle Shanahan's not so bright without Deebo Samuel and without Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And when you put an elite defense that gets after the quarterback up the middle, even Brock Purdy looks pedestrian, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what this validates is the Steelers miraculously, the defense can't stop the run, and their offense is terrible under Matt Canada. Miraculously, they're at the top, and what this is hopeful for, and you said it perfectly, Nick, there's no dominant offense in the AFC North. Lamar Jackson, the Steelers, already beat him once, they'll beat him again. Here's the issue, though. have the Steelers figured anything out to just get the ball to their elite weapons? Many of them are coming back. Freiermuth, Deontay, little Calvin's going to be back after his little concussion or concussion scare. So now that we've seen, when you have elite, and I mean elite, West Coast assets, and you have elite players on the defense, including Joey Porter Jr. and Desmond King, you put your best guys out there and just let them go make plays. Not fancy stuff. The Steelers don't throw the ball to the middle. Start throwing the ball to Darnell Washington. He cannot be stopped. They have five assets that can't be stopped if you give them the ball.
Sure.
So all we got to do is figure out our offense, and we're going to win a Super Bowl because Seattle didn't look tough. Tennessee doesn't look tough. The 49ers lost. They're not too tough without their assets. The Eagles lost to the Jets without Aaron Rodgers. So all these teams that we thought were superstars, here we come, baby. Here we go. We're coming for a Super Bowl number 7. Going to L.A. this weekend and going to Vegas to watch them bring home the 7th Lombardi. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, okay. So 12-5. Very good. So Donnie Football talked about that, too, yesterday. He was after Kale. And Donnie's not swaying his prediction, but I swore Donnie yesterday said 11-5 was his prediction, but maybe he said 12-5 and I just misheard, or 11-6. But yeah, Donnie said that they were going to be somewhere at 11 wins and they were going to be in the playoffs, and he said that he's still confident. But Donnie's not confident because the Steelers are playing well. It's because a lot of the teams this year are not playing well. It's the fact that the talent this year from all NFL teams is just so bad that the Steelers really could win with their defense and maybe a little bit of an offensive push. But I agree with most of what Roland says, too. I mean, the offense has the weapons to succeed. That's why many of us are calling for Canada's head, because we see all the talent that's on the Steelers' offense, and just the plays that they're running are not exciting. They're not revolutionary. They're very predictable. You don't necessarily need a revolutionary offense to succeed in the NFL. You just can't be too predictable. Or you've got to have one in particular strength, one specific strength that you could pound against the defense knowing that it's nearly infallible. Now, the Steelers are predictable, and the Steelers haven't used their weapons in one specific case to really pound at an opposing defense. So that's where they've really struggled. So Matt Canada's head's being called for, and I agree with that because I think there's so much offensive talent that they have in their personnel that they shouldn't be struggling this mightily, and they shouldn't be sub 20 points most games. I mean, they only have one this season so far. That was against the Raiders. So Roland's points all taken very well. Roland from Castle Shannon calls in all the time and just called in there, just talking about all the offensive weapons the Steelers have, and, you know, they're struggling. But at the same time, the way the rest of the NFL is playing, the way the rest of the AFC is playing, I mean, the Steelers could legitimately win 12 games this season. So all fair points, I'd say. I mean, all the other AFC teams mightily struggling this year, and the Cleveland Browns just have a lot of questions going on, too, with them now that P.J. Walker came into a game and led the Cleveland Browns offense to a win over the San Francisco 49ers, who, without Christian McCaffrey in for the entire game and Deebo Samuel in the game, couldn't really get anything going up the middle.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's truck month at Sun Chevy. Come check out their half-ton and three-quarter-ton Silverados. You can also shop online at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 55, low of 44. Cloudy skies all throughout the day and some rain mixed in there. Tomorrow, high of 57, low of 47. Overcast skies expected. That's fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Weird weekend for the NFL and football in general. I mean, with college football scores and results that happened with that. I mean, there's so many things happening over the weekend that were just wild. And to the Steelers' misfortune, none of the other opponents lost. None of the other AFC North opponents lost on Sunday. Earl from Canonsburg wants to call and talk at 412-928-9370. Good morning, Earl.
Yeah. Things are going along real good. I'll tell you one thing about our division. I don't know about the 12 wins for the Steelers, but I think our division has a very good chance of being decided by tiebreakers between two, possibly three teams.
Yeah, you're not wrong. All right, Earl, thanks for the call.
That would be like the first time that happened. And it might be, in our division, might not be the only one like that in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Earl. Thanks for the call. Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, there are so many questions about so many teams in the AFC. Like, there were so many dominant teams coming into this year that we thought were going to take off, and they haven't. Or there are so many flaws that seem to be exposed this year that weren't there before. And so, I mean, a couple teams always emerge, but like as for the rest, like the wild card teams or two of the four division winners, like that's all very up for grabs. Like it's all very uncertain. So yeah, I mean, there are so many questions to ask. I mean, there's so many uncertainty in the NFL this season. It's just it's nuts. And the AFC, I think we all thought had higher expectations of, and now it's like, well, you know, a lot of these teams don't look great. I mean, the AFC North was one of those divisions that was supposed to be seen as the most competitive. And, I mean, it is competitive, but it's not the exciting kind of competitive. Again, it's the giveaway division. The AFC East was supposed to be super competitive. And, I mean, the Patriots, really bad this year. The Bills and the Dolphins, serviceable. They're doing fine. So, yeah, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on in the NFL where all these teams are just not looking very good. And especially in the AFC, I think the AFC has definitely been a letdown for all of us who are watching. Well, we'll see. But, I mean, in terms of the Steelers' perspective and in terms of the division, tiebreakers could very well decide this division. I mean, all the teams are going back and forth right now, and the Steelers and Ravens toward the top of the division. The Bengals are back in it after winning against the Seahawks. The Browns maintain pace after beating the 49ers. I mean, the 49ers did just legitimately get exposed as well. And another undefeated team, the Philadelphia Eagles, they lost to the New York Jets. And Zach Wilson at quarterback is keeping the Jets afloat. I think it's amazing. I mean, like, there are so many just bad teams in the NFL this season, but also so many, like, interesting storylines. Like, P.J. Walker playing for Deshaun Watson, and the Browns were able to beat the 49ers without McCaffrey for the whole game. Or Debo Samuel for the whole game. Or Zach Wilson going with the Jets and beating the Philadelphia Eagles to make them now 5-1 as well. I mean, there's so much. There's so many great storylines that come out of bad football. And I mean, this season is no different. There are great storylines. There is a lot of nonsense to sort through, but a lot of these storylines are pretty interesting. So Yeah, I mean, as we look at the Steelers, too, as well, and we look at them in perspective of this division, I mean, I did want to mention this, too, because everybody's talking about free speech and Matt Canada chants and everything. I think that, now, I don't like him, and you know that if you listen to this show enough, but I don't like him. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. I don't like Matt Canada. I don't think he should be the offensive coordinator. I think that it's not normal to do that in other sports. If you want to chant fire Canada during a Steeler game, that makes sense to me. I think it goes a little too far, though, when it transcends to the Penguins game, especially on the road, too, in Washington. They're standing outside one of those buildings saying, fire Matt Canada. You know, just chanting it just because. I mean, maybe it's fun for fans because, you know, it's gaining a lot of attention to chant that. I mean, I don't know what the exact motivation is at this point, but, like, it's not really going to make a difference in whether the Steelers retain him as a coach or not to chant that stuff at a Penguins game. You're right, we have free speech. Technically, you're right. And if you want to exercise your free speech doing that, I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's not harmful. I just think that it's not really doing much. And really, if you want Matt Canada to be fired, don't invest in Steeler games or Steelers attire or Steelers anything. Don't invest in the Steelers. And when there's not that return on investment for ownership, then they might make a change because of that. But, I mean, if you're still going to show up to games, don't chant fire Canada. It's not going to do much. If they're still making money off the team that they've built, then doesn't matter what you chant, they're going to do what they find best, which would be retaining Matt Canada. So that they, I guess, save a little bit of money and, you know, stick to their loyal expectations. All right, we got one more caller at 412-928-9370. Good morning. Introduce yourself.
Hi, it's Joe from North for Sales.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I can't disagree with the things you're saying. You know, the team I'd watch out for, particularly with the trade deadline coming up, is the Jets. If they had a quarterback like Cousins, I tell you, they're scary good otherwise. So, I mean, they beat Buffalo. They beat Philadelphia. They lost by 3 points to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And you got to figure those three teams are, like, in the top, you know, five teams. So. Yeah. Watch out for the Jets is all I have to say this morning.
Joe, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Yeah, the Jets could be scary. I mean, Zach Wilson's playing with a chip on his shoulder, and it seems that that's doing him well with Aaron Rodgers hurt, which if they end up making the playoffs would be one of, if not the greatest storyline of the year, is that Aaron Rodgers got traded for and then got hurt, what, 3-4 plays into his first game with the Jets, and then Zach Wilson has to be the guy to play quarterback. And after all these rumors about, you know, the Jets acquiring another quarterback, Robert Saleh made it clear, hey, he's our guy, and he's going to be our guy moving forward. And they stuck with him, but now they're winning some games, and they knocked off an undefeated 5-0 Philadelphia Eagles team this week. So, I mean, they're there, and they do have some pros. Looking at them, they do have some strong points. So, Joe, I agree with you. They could be a scary team down the road, especially if they get into the playoffs, see what Zach Wilson has up his sleeve as quarterback, and then the rest of the team to maybe get some wins and make a playoff push.